For WKU Public Radio, I'm Lisa Autry. When you visit the campus of Center College in Danville, you can't help but notice C6HO painted on buildings inside and out. The year was 1921, when Center nabbed an athletic triumph that some have called the greatest upset of the first half of the 20th century.
Center College went up to Cambridge, Massachusetts to play Harvard, which was then the number one powerhouse. They were the number one football team 3 years in a row. And Center went up to Cambridge and beat them 6-0. Everyone was so excited, they painted C6HO everywhere.
Center has scored again, so to speak. The liberal arts college in the heart of Kentucky's bluegrass region will host its second vice presidential debate on October 11th. In 2000, Center hosted the VP debate between Dick Cheney and Joseph Lieberman. So what is it about a small-town school that's been chosen twice for such a major political event? Dr. Richard Trollinger is vice president of college relations and serves as co-chair of the debate steering committee. He says Center has always been a small college that thinks and acts big.
It's just, you know, part of our DNA that we like to do things that exceed normal expectation.
While the school boasts of that football win of 1921, Center College has a rich political history, too. Founded in 1819, Center is the alma mater of two vice presidents and two Supreme Court justices, and it's the smallest school to ever host a general election debate in one of the smallest communities. While preparing for the October debate has been a challenge, Dr. Trollinger says experience is the best teacher.
It's been easier in the sense that we knew more about what we were doing. We were climbing such a steep learning curve every day in 2000. It was just so much we didn't know about, or we had to learn about the technical needs of the debate in particular.
Shane Wilson is coordinator of network services on campus. He's been working since November, making sure all the technical aspects are in place for the hordes of national and international media. He speaks with us inside Sutcliffe Hall, which has been converted into a media filing center.
So what we had to actually do is build a small data center. And four buildings that are being used on campus are actually all feed to this one room, and all of the internet connections and phone services and other services being hosted on campus for the debate are all coming out of this room temporarily.
The Media Filing Center is the size of three basketball courts and contains 550 workstations just for print media alone. On the next floor up is Spin Alley. It's quiet today, but on October 11th, the atmosphere will be electric, with surrogates defending their candidates and their debate performance. Newland Hall, inside the Norton Center for the Arts, houses the 1,500-seat debate hall. Close to half of the seats have been taken out to build platforms for the major television networks.
In a sense, what happens to any auditorium that hosts a general election debate is that you're turning that space into a giant television studio. And that's what's happening here in Newland Hall.
That's Dr. Clarence Wyatt, a history professor and special assistant to the president. He serves as the other debate committee co-chair. Wayne King, director of facilities management, can attest to all the strict guidelines that come with hosting a debate.
We're adding air conditioning to the stage. We have to have 65 degrees on the stage where the candidates are sitting. Can't get any warmer. That's 65 degrees with all the show lights that's being added. The audience can't be any warmer than 68. Candidates cannot sweat, and they cannot blow their hair. If we do, we failed.
Someone else who knows the ins and outs of debate hosting is Les Fugit, who in 2000 was president of College Republicans at Center.
I was in the debate hall, got to watch the debate. As soon as the debate was over, then I went over to Spin Alley and was part of the response team, but I gave the college student response.
For the young man who wanted to be a college president, the debate experience led him in another direction.
It's a lot of connections that you'll make with people if you use it correctly for the different campaigns, with the news media, a lot of access to do different things that you normally wouldn't get to do. And what happened for me is that I did all of these different interviews so often that when a friend of mine ran for political office and won, he needed someone to be his director of communications, and as he says, he couldn't afford someone with experience. So I was the next guy because he remembered me doing all of those interviews.
That friend who hired Fugit was then-Secretary of State Trey Grayson. 12 years later, a new crop of student politicos are waiting for doors to open. Donovan Whiteside spent the summer interning in Washington. Now Washington is coming to him. As a government major, the debate is naturally exciting for him, but Whiteside likes how students less interested in politics are tuned in.
You can read and hear about a lot of these events, but when you have such an international event such as this come to right in your front door, it's really amazing for the students to be able to see this firsthand, where you have Secret Service and you have all news media from around the world reporting right here in front of you.
Luke Wetton is president of Center College Republicans. He says the upcoming debate has helped revive what was largely an inactive organization.
We're bringing it back. The students obviously are excited because you're going to have one of the biggest political events in the country in our backyard. My hope is that when that finishes, even after the election, we'll still have students who are engaged and interested in what's going on.
Wetton loves to get into a good argument over politics with David Miller, president of Center College Democrats. But the two students are friends and respect each other's vastly different political views. Miller says nearly the entire student body of 1,300 has signed a civility pledge, which the school hopes Joe Biden and Paul Ryan will also sign.
The campus, particularly the student body, felt that it was not necessary but a good measure to take and a good step to take to say to the candidates, we'd like for you guys to try to sign a pledge that will say, we're going to talk about the issues in an intellectual way that we don't have to resort to name-calling.
Some students will be lucky enough to get a seat inside the debate hall. The Commission on Presidential Debates will give the school a small amount of tickets, according to Dr. Trollinger.
What we did in 2000, plan to do again 2012, is to conduct a lottery so that we will get as many students into the debate hall as we can. It wouldn't be something that we would be interested in doing if we didn't think it also served the educational mission of the college.
Hosting the 2000 debate ushered in a decade of unprecedented progress at the college, including $100 million in new construction.
And in addition to those things that are made possible by increased giving, we've had an increase in the number of out-of-state applications every year since 2000.
For debate co-chairs Richard Trollinger and Clarence White, hosting not once but twice is an overwhelming vote of confidence.
Part of the reason we do this, of course, is that it provides opportunities for telling the center story to a much larger audience. You know, it's not easy for a small undergraduate teaching institution in Central Kentucky to tell its story to the rest of the nation.
You know, Richard talks about some of the things that are kind of quantitative indications of a spirit that it brought to this place. And I think it's created an even greater sense of there's nothing this place can't do.
In the words of Trollinger, when we put our best foot forward, the shoe has been polished. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Lisa Autry.